Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I heard this song on the radio the other night, and I said, who is this guy? Listen to this song for 1 minute, will you? Mr. and Mrs. Jones, Billy Paul, 1972, one-hit wonder. It's about a guy sitting in a cafe imagining he's having a relationship with a woman he's in love with, I think. And it's one of the most touching songs you ever can hear on a radio at 2 o'clock in the morning, coming over the Golden Gate Bridge, coming down the Sausalito overpass into Mill Valley, into Strawberry. As the trees whiz by and the foggy air hits you in the nose, this is the Savage Nation. Anyone who sings or entertains knows what that means. It means that when you get off the stage, you're drained. You have nothing left to give. It's all there. You leave it on the stage. Welcome to the Savage Nation. That's how this show is most of the time. And what is Trump spelled backwards? Doesn't say rump or murp. What is Cruz spelled backwards? CFR. What is Sanders spelled backwards? Karl Marx. What is Hillary spelled backwards? Liar. I mean, you could do that if you want. It makes no sense, does it? Well, this makes sense. Donald Trump laid out a step-by-step plan today that he said would force Mexico to pay for a wall along the U.S. border. And he threatened to block billions in aid sent to Mexico by Mexican nationals. And what he said is his first step would be to propose a rule that, quote, no alien may wire money outside the United States without providing proof they are here legally. This rule would specifically regulate Western Union and other wire transfer firms by modifying the post-September 11th USA Patriot Act, according to a plan released by the campaign today. Now, does anyone who listens to this show deny that came from this program? Because we put this up on the air. We said, block Western Union, but we added something to it. Remittance tax on all transfers. This specifically came from the Savage Nation. I didn't say block the transfer of money to Mexico from Mexican nationals living here. I said put a 4% transfer tax on all transfers to Mexico and Russia and China and Poland and Hungary and Italy and Uruguay. In other words, every transfer would have a transfer tax on it that would go to the United States of America. That's called America First. So he was attacked for this right away by the goofball in the White House, who thinks only of what's good for other countries and puts America last. Mr. Goofball in the White House, who loves abusing the privileges of the office of the presidency and loves spitting on the taxpayer, has this to say about Donald Trump's idea about aid being sent through Western Union. Listen to clips number one.
I am getting questions constantly from foreign leaders about some of the wackier suggestions that are being made. I do have to emphasize that it's not just Mr. Trump's proposals. I mean, you're also hearing concerns about Mr. Cruz's proposals, which in some ways are just as draconian when it comes to immigration, for example.
Oh, draconian!
The implications with respect to ending remittances, many of which, by the way, are from legal immigrants and from individuals who are sending money back to their families, are enormous. First of all, they're impractical.
Well, of course they're enormous. I estimated $24 billion. That's the number that's quoted, by the way, by the Associated Press. That's the number used by Donald Trump. Don't confuse yourself for a minute. I am the idea man in the United States of America in radio. I don't care what anyone says or doesn't say about me. When I see my ideas being offered or used by others, I am very happy. Because I'm like Lao Tzu. I don't care who uses my ideas as long as they use my ideas. That's use enough for me. But they got it half right and they got it half wrong. I didn't say block transfers to Mexico. I said put a 4% remittance tax on all transfers to Mexico. They're not paying taxes on the money. They're basically earning money in America one way or the other, either under the table, over the table, evading taxes, avoiding taxes, getting freebies so they can afford to send money back to their home country. That's not good. If they paid their fair share of taxes here, they wouldn't be having the money, extra money to send back home. So tax it. 4% isn't enough, by the way, because 4% of $24 billion is not very much money when it's being when we're bleeding this much money that we are bleeding today. $24 billion in remittances to Mexico, it's probably much higher than that. I don't know the exact number. That's the number I came up with. Surely Donald Trump's people could have gotten better research than me. But okay, I'm glad they're using my idea. But make it a 10% tax. That's only $2.4 billion a year. That's nothing. That's chicken feed. That would hardly pay for Hillary Clinton's campaign. That would hardly pay for Michelle Obama's travels around the world and her 70 assistants for the next 5 years. So we need a higher than 10% remittance tax on the money being sent out of the country. But right away, the goofball attacks Donald Trump and doesn't think of what this means for America, the American taxpayer. But the goofball abuser of the White House then goes through on number two and says how it would affect Mexico. Listen now.
The notion that we're going to track every Western Union bit of money that's being sent to Mexico, good luck with that. Then we've got the issue of the implications for the Mexican economy, which in turn, if it's collapsing, actually sends more immigrants north because they can't find jobs back in Mexico. But this is just one more example of something that is not thought through and is primarily put forward for political consumption.
And what he's saying is not for political consumption, the goofball. Well, let's analyze what the goofball just said. He said the notion that we're going to track every Western Union bit of money sent to Mexico, good luck with that. First of all, that's a big lie. Everything that comes out of this man's mouth is political and a lie. That we know. I mean, there's no currency in me telling you Obama's a serial liar or a psychopathic liar or a pathological liar. You know that already. But his statements make no sense. First of all, they do track every Western Union transfer right now. What do you mean the idea that we can track every Western Union transfer? Good luck with that. They do it right now for tax evaders. How come they can track every rich person's transfer of money to overseas accounts and they can't track a gardener's sending of money to Mexico? That's absurd. Every Western Union transfer is recorded and noted and known. And by the way, there are laws on the books right now to track every foreign transfer going out of this country. He's lying again, and he's lying specifically to protect the illegal aliens working in this country, ripping us off by not paying their fair share of taxes and sending the money home to their relatives to prop up their rotten third world socialist dictatorship back home. That's number two. Now, I'm not running for office. Don't confuse me with a politician. But if my ideas are going to be used by a campaign, and I hope they are, I hope they continue to use them, they should get it right. I didn't say block all transfers. Whoever from the Trump campaign admires me as much as you do and listens to every show and records, and you're probably not even telling Donald you're listening. You're probably trying to get credit for the ideas yourself. That's what I'm starting to think, is that they're doing the Cliff Notes version of my show. I didn't say block all transfers. I said put a transfer tax on all transfers. At first I said 4%, but it doesn't add up to enough money. 10% isn't enough money. $2.4 billion is chicken feed for this economy. And maybe we have to put something like a 30% transfer tax on it. Now, that will deter sending the money overseas, and they may have to spend it here, which would be very good for this economy. You know, maybe they'd have to buy their own things instead of waiting for a government a check or something like that. So anyway, that's a big story to me. It's very personal. The wall can be built. The wall will be built. There's no way to stop it. And when we have a man in the White House who is more concerned with the economy of Mexico than he is with the economy of America, when we have a man who is like King Ludwig II, look it up, King Ludwig, the mad king of Bavaria, who bankrupted his own treasury for his own self-aggrandizement. He built a palace on one of the lakes in Bavaria called Schloss Herrenchiemsee. He was a young king, was not ready for the job like Obama, and he was a profligate spender, and he was a madman. And he bankrupted the Bavarian treasury by building these edifices for himself, including a copy of the Palace of Versailles on this lake in Bavaria. It bankrupted the Bavarian treasury. It was a direct copy of the Palace of Versailles in the middle of nowhere in Bavaria. That's why they called him the Mad King of Bavaria, King Ludwig II. Obama is kind of a King Ludwig II. The difference is that we have no sober statesman to stop him, which they should have stopped him at Munich. That's a joke, for those of you who know what that means. If this guy had been stopped at Munich back in the first 4 years of his regime for the excesses he was pulling off on the American people, we wouldn't be in the situation we are in today. But we are in the situation. And the madman is not going to stop because no one's stopping him. No one's even criticizing him anymore. Okay, so I feel obliged to talk about this. I think it's a very big story. I can't ask you to comment on this because you can't say anything I haven't said already. Other leverage points raised by Donald Trump, spelled out, include canceling visas and hiking entrance fees. Trump predicts that with $24 billion in remittances on the line, Mexico will balk. Trump said Mexicans in the U.S. send about $24 billion a year home to relatives. Again, that came directly from my last book, Government Zero. I think the number is much higher. Washington Post reports that includes all remittances sent back to Mexico from countries around the world, not just those from the U.S. I don't think that's true. Trump said his threats would be lifted after Mexico made a one-time payment of up to $10 billion. It's an easy decision for Mexico, said Donald Trump. Make a one-time payment of $5 billion to $10 billion to ensure that $24 billion continues to flow into their country year after year. Obama, of course, ridiculed the idea. He said the idea was half-baked. He said that the notion that we're going to track every Western Union bit of money as being sent, good luck with that. That's a lie. They do track every bit of Western Union money going out of the country right now. As a matter of fact, you know very well that if you go to your bank and look to withdraw a few thousand dollars, they're recording it. You're being watched every second by this government as an American citizen. He's telling us they can't do it. That's a lie. Then he said if the remittances were halted, that would lead to more immigrants coming north. Well, it wouldn't. If you had a wall, they wouldn't come north. They'd have to stay there in their own country. And then the country would be poorer than it already is, which is not my problem. My problem is the illegal immigrants coming here making this country poorer by not contributing to it. This is not all immigrants. This is not every immigrant. This is not limited to Mexico, but it's primarily Mexico that is causing the problem because we have an open, porous border created by Hillary Clinton when she was the co-president. It was, after all, it was Hillary Clinton as co-president, while Bill was diddling around in the East Room, West Room, North Room, South Room, every room. Every room, North Room, East Room, West Wing, East Wing. While the business of government was being conducted, he was chasing interns around the White House. So it was Hillary who was running the country. She is the one who caused this meltdown of our economy, the meltdown of our jobs through NAFTA. Be clear about this. She's not a novice. She's not a neophyte. She's nothing new to the campaign. She's the one who wrecked everything when she was in the White House. Well, how can you not attach NAFTA to Hillary Clinton if you're a leftist? Well, you say, well, I do. That's why I'm voting for the communist Bernie Sanders. Good luck with that. Good luck with that, yeah. Go, Bernie, go. Right to Moscow. Moscow would deport him immediately because they had their share of communism. They know where this kind of nonsense leads. That's topic number one. There are others I'm going to talk about. They're blocking remittances. I'm going to talk about the death of the U.S. Marine Corps under Barack Obama. Came to me from USDefenseWatch.com. As reported this week by Military.com, Marines across the Corps will be challenged on their unconscious prejudices and presuppositions, in other words, thought control, as women get the opportunity to become Marines for the first time. Unconscious prejudices and the opportunity to become grunts for the first time. Unconscious prejudices by Marines and presuppositions defined as simple facts, such as women lack the upper body strength, the aerobic lung capacity, testosterone for aggressiveness, that they're more prone to injuries, while they possess a myriad of hygiene issues in the field that men do not encounter. Those are all false. You get that out of your head. Women are not different than men. They have no hygienic differences on the field. You get that out of your mind. Where did you get that trash from, that misogynistic garbage? That's what they're going to tell the men to think about. How? The Marine Corps is rolling out mandatory training for all Marines for the first time in history in order to brainwash them into believing what is false and forgetting what is real. That's Barack Obama the liar at work. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
The notion that we're going to track every Western Union bit of money that's being sent to Mexico, good luck with that.
As I said to you, every Western Union transfer is right now tracked by the federal government. They know if you send $5 to your aunt in Bulgaria. So he's lying about that. That's to make sure that the drug dealers are not sending money home. So the DEA does this. The IRS does this. Every transfer that you make is tracked. So what do you mean, they can't track this? Of course they can. They just don't want to because they want to prop up the Mexican government. Either for reasons they don't understand or reasons they do understand, but they're making a mistake. Then we're talking about the death of the U.S. Marine Corps under Barry Obama, who's on a vendetta, on a crash program to destroy the Marine Corps before he is finally sent out to pasture to ruin the world. Ray Starman, USDefenseWatch.com, writes this. The U.S. Marines are the latest casualty in the Maoist Cultural Revolution being shoved down the throat of the military and incinerating the fighting spirit and readiness of the armed forces like a five-alarm fire. They're sending out psychopathic women, like Colonel Ann Weinberg, a real hero, Colonel Ann Weinberg. She's going to go around the country like modern-day Soviet zampolites or political officers in order to brainwash officers in the Marines that putting women in combat units on the front lines is doable and unnegotiable. If I tell you what she's going to say to them, you're going to understand why we'll never be able to win a war again and that ISIS is laughing all their way to Geneva. We must stop these Maoist psychotics before they destroy the last great fighting force on the planet. This is a matter of life and death.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Wonderful living in the Bay Area. It's wrong. It's like living out of town for the rest of eternity. It's great to see people who think they're just sophisticated wearing dresses that look like drapes taken off a movie theater from Cleveland. Yes, indeedy, it's great living out here. We're talking about Barry Obama wrecking the economy, wrecking the military with a wrecking ball like a crazed child. Like a crazed child, I wrote 2 books ago, a clever crazed child who can take a watch apart, a great watch given to him by his grandfather, and he can take the watch apart, but he can't put it back together again. That's Barack Obama in a nutshell. So now he's taking the Marine Corps apart. In his last months of the holy terror of his reign, he wants to make sure that the Marines are brainwashed into not knowing reality on the front lines of combat. And so they're teaching them that they have unconscious prejudices, such as women are not as strong as them, that women are more prone to injuries, that women have a myriad of hygiene issues in the field that men do not encounter. None of these are true. It may be biologically true, but it's not true to the communists or the Maoists who run the country. And so the Marine Corps is rolling out mandatory brainwashing for all Marines before the first future women hit boot camp, aiming to make sure that the Marines are not biased against them. And leading this charge is Colonel Ann Weinberg. Don't you just know? Colonel Ann Weinberg, Deputy Director of the Marine Corps Force Innovation Office. Isn't that a great title? I don't know, Marine. I don't know Ann Weinberg's background, but if she ever fired a Daisy BB gun, I'd be surprised. Ann Weinberg. These officers will then train the Marines, meaning brainwash them. Mobile training teams, meaning mobile Maoist teams, of the type that the KGB used to have, political officers, will travel the world in order to brainwash Marines that women must be on the front lines. And they're going to make the Marines understand that they have an unconscious bias about gender, race, institutional change, and so on. So I'll give you some of the examples of what they're going to do, because if I wrote this, you'd say I'm making it up and I'm biased. I'm reading an article from USDefenseWatch.com on the Savage Nation. I don't want to read it to you. It's too exhausting. But I'll summarize it with the end of the article. The Marine Corps rolled out a commander's toolkit of optional online classes on similar topics in late 2014 when Barry was still in his heyday as they were getting ready to force women on the front lines. And the U.S. Marine Corps Commander's Toolkit in 2016 includes not how to defeat ISIS by killing them first, not how to shoot the enemy in the face before he shoots you in the face first, but, and I'm not making this up, this is a kit given out to commanders of the Marine Corps by Barry's insane commanders, pregnancy simulators, breast pumps, tactical lactation station overlays, red high heels, and a proper procedure to set up a unisex latrine. If I made this up, you'd say you're crazy. It's not even funny, but I'm not making it up. These are insane communists running the military, put in power by the most insane president in American history. The death of the U.S. Marine Corps, Ray Starman, USDefenseWatch.com. Read it and weep. Here's another story that's worth reading. Remember last week you read about a car that went out of control, a hit and run, ran over a Muslim woman in Molenbeek, Holland, after the bombings, and how the media jumped on that, and they made that story bigger than the bombing by the Muslims from Molenbeek. Remember that? Belgium, sorry. They talked about right-wing guys in a car, hit-and-run Muslim woman. It was a YouTube piece. Far-right anti-Islam attack screamed the headlines of the Anderson Coopers of the printed world. But that's not the story that actually happened. They said it happened during a, quote, far-right demonstration, Andy. But it wasn't a far-right demonstration. And it wasn't the far-right activist who hit the Muslim woman in the car. No. You know what really happened? Well, the headline said, Muslim woman mown down by grinning far-right activist, Anderson Cooper and Wolfie Blitzer, by grinning right-wing driver. But then, if you looked further on, you found the names of those in the car who ran over the Muslim woman during the demonstration. Their names were Rudani B. and Mohammed B., both of whom are residents of Molenbeek, and both of whom are Muslims. Yes, indeedy, my friends, journalists who bothered to check with sources in Brussels were able to ascertain that the man was not far right who ran the Muslim woman over, but a local Muslim teenager. A fact that was reported a couple of days ago by those such as Channel 4's Pariah O'Brien. But that was only in the fifth paragraph. In other words, the smear was done. You didn't hear about that one. And last week, by the way, there was a murder of Assad Shah, a well-loved Muslim from the persecuted Ahmadiyya sect. Remember I told you about that? They're a peace-loving sect that want to get along with all religions, and he was butchered. The Guardian and the other newspapers run by Anderson Cooper's cousins completely omitted the fact that the killer was a Muslim. And the rest of the media dropped interest when blame could not be pinned on Islamophobia or white men. Now you know the danger of Wolf Blitzer and Anderson Cooper. Here's another story from The Australian on the Saturday. I'm throwing a lot of stories at you right now. Keep your attention. Because if you think I'm going to say Trump and Cruz for 3 hours, you're mistaken. Next story. Sin taxes are an insult to the intelligence of adults. The Australian, Nick Cater. Sin taxes are an insult to the intelligence of adults. Michael Costa once threatened to write a book entitled, I'm Fat, Ugly, and Stupid. What's the government going to do about it? I'm Fat, Ugly, and Stupid. What's the government going to do about it? Late last year, the Department of Health in Canberra answered the former NSW treasurer's question by issuing official guidelines on healthy eating. We eat for many different reasons. Healthweight.gov. Sometimes we eat because we're hungry. Sometimes we eat because we think we're expected to eat. Sometimes we eat just to make ourselves feel better. And that's known as comfort eating. Or eating because you're feeling sad, lonely, bored, or hopeless. Or ugly and stupid. And so the new government warnings warn against entrapment. And they warn you not to eat when you're just feeling ugly and stupid. Acknowledge to yourself that you're sad, says the government brochure. It's an important step in changing the habit. Now, if all else fails, the government says stop eating altogether. They say replace eating with something else. Talk to a friend. Get out of the house for a while. Go for a walk and get mugged in San Francisco. Go step on a urine-soaked bench. Go sit on a urine-soaked bench down by Fisherman's Wharf. Go walk around and avoid the feces on the ground in the San Francisco. And avoid eating altogether. In fact, if you want to avoid eating, just take a walk in San Francisco at any time. There's a stench coming out of the sewers right now down on the Embarcadero that will make you think you're living in prehistoric times. That'll really put a damper into your appetite, but it doesn't seem to affect the crowds down by the ferry terminals scarfing down the raw oysters and clams, which are known to be disastrous for the human body. Sometimes I walk around down there and I observe people eating, and I watch them eat and I watch them drink, and I wonder about it. I wonder about a lot of things. I, as a human myself, say, how much can a human being consume? How much can they put down their gullets without getting sick? Even if it's healthful food, it's garbage. Your body can only take so much being put through the tube, I say to myself. And I watch them scarf down the raw oysters without any knowledge whatsoever of the toxins in raw oysters. I watch them drinking endless quantities of alcohol without thinking about what the alcohol does to their bodies. And I say to myself, it's not my business. If they want to be fat, ugly, and stupid, and sick, that's their business, isn't it? Well, I don't know. I have to pay for their sickness, don't I? See, I was thinking about that. And tell me if I'm wrong. When I was a kid, and I wanted to get my first car insurance, I had to be put into assigned risk. Because they knew the teenage drivers were the most risk, had the highest risk, most accidents, right? Teenage boys. Actually, these teenage girls were the worst drivers. Just look around the roads. You'll see the goofball girls. If ever someone's trying bearing down on you on a one-lane road, it's a girl. Usually in a Jeep or a 4x4 they borrowed from the father. I won't quote my Freud about why young girls like big cars, but we'll let that go. That was well covered in the 50s, but I can't repeat what Freud said. It was a certain type of envy. But I can't use the first word because then you'll think I'm the Mapplethorpe of the airwaves. So the point is that when I was a teenager going for my car insurance, I was put into an assigned risk pool because they knew statistically that boys, teenagers, had more accidents. So you had to pay more for insurance. Didn't that make sense? Well, it did until Bernie came along. And he said everything should be equal and everything should be fair. So in other words, by this thinking, if you're a moron driver, get into a lot of accidents, you shouldn't pay any more insurance than a safe driver. Likewise, if you're a psychotic abuser of your body, whether through excessive sex, drugs, alcohol, you shouldn't pay more for health care than someone who takes care of themselves. Why not? Why shouldn't people who are abusers through their lifestyle, and we know who they are, they're in many categories, why shouldn't drug users, sex users, and other abusers of their body be put into an assigned risk pool of health insurance? Doesn't that make sense to you? No one has thought of it but me. And I think it's fair. Why should I pay for some abuser and his health costs? Tell me why. I want to know why I should pay for someone who abuses themselves health-wise. Let's say they're known to have diabetes. Well, it's unfair for them to have to pay for their own insurance, right? Didn't worry, it's a pre-existing condition. So if he goes out and eats strawberry shortcake and ice cream pies and tiramisu every time he has an Italian meal, he shouldn't be penalized for that through a higher insurance premium? Of course he should. That would be called an assigned risk category, but I guess that's considered unfair in the new Soviet America under Bernie Sanders and Barry Obama. Anyway, those are some of my random thoughts. I hope you're still following me. I got a lot more. I'm just getting started. I'm trying to avoid Trump and Cruz and Cruz and Trump because tonight it's all Trump, Cruz, Trump, Cruz, Trump, Cruz, Trump, Cruz, Trump, Cruz. They've got the clock already running. I wonder when Wolf Blitzer lays down at night what he actually thinks of himself. I wonder what medication his psychiatrist has to put him on to keep him from, well, whatever. Likewise, do they have a conscience? Are they the equivalent of the new Americans without a conscience? Those in the media? All of those who have such a hatred for this country? Well, anyway, I don't want to go down that road because it'll make me angry. I'd rather bring light to the world than anger. How's that? And we agree on that one? I'd rather bring light in a dark world. I'd rather be the guy with the candle in a dark tunnel than talk about the darkness. Because, listen, we could all talk about the darkness day and night, right? Oh, the tunnel's dark. Oh, it's too hollow. Oh, I hear your voice. Listen to them yelling down at that tunnel. Listen to them saying this on the left. Listen to them saying that. Listen to the echo bouncing off the tunnel. Boring. I'd rather be the man with the lamp. Anyone know who that mythical man was? The man who carried the light in the dark? I know many people accuse the man who was carrying the light in the dark of blinding them. They said, how dare you bring light into a dark tunnel? We all hate it in here so much that we're used to it. Put that damn light out. We don't want light in the tunnel. We don't even want light at the end of the tunnel. We're very comfortable here in this dark tunnel. We love it. We love wallowing in our anger and our resentment and our hatred. I can't do it anymore. I've gone through a metamorphosis over the last few weeks and days that's very hard to describe. It was a very big internal change inside of me, Michael Savage. And I almost feel like I have an internal monitor now. Every time I go down and move into the darkness of talk radio, I feel something putting me back and saying, hold that candle up, Michael. Bring light to the darkness. You know, remember the poem, If? If all those about you are losing it and blaming it on you. What a great poem that is. That's how I feel in the media. I feel that all those around me are losing it and blaming it on me. But I'm going to keep on going and being me. I've been doing it for 22 years. I intend to keep doing it so long as I want to do it. It's really that simple. It's in my hands, is it? Or is it in God's hands? One who loves must learn fear. One who fears must learn love. The thinker must do. The doer must think. The pacifist must fight. The fighter must find peace. If you flow as a river, burn as a fire. If you burn as a furnace, flow as a river. If you fly as a bird, sit firm as a rock. If you sit firmly, then fly as a bird. Be a fire that flows, a rock that flies. Love with fear and fear with love. For we are not fire, not water, not air, not rocks, not thoughts, not deeds, not fear, not love. We are all godly beings. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. Remember that one? Maybe you learned it, maybe you didn't. If by Rudyard Kipling. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. Great line. Here's another great line. If you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools. Hey, brother. How does that work for you? That's all the great poem, If, by Rudyard Kipling. Here's another one for those of you out there who are listeners. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue. Whoa, that's a good one. Or walk with kings and they'll lose the common touch. If neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And which is more, you'll be a man, my son. Wow, what a poem. Rudyard Kipling, great poet. Fell out of favor by the anti-colonialists who came along and trashed his poetry. Still one of the great ones. I read it to my son and my daughter. I recommend you do so yourself. If by Rudyard Kipling, The Savage Nation by Michael Savage. When I come back in the next hour, we'll talk about all of the other sins being inflicted upon our consciousness by the illegitimate. And I suggest you either be here or be nowhere, because there's nowhere to be. And by the way, I do want to talk about the Mapplethorpe show on HBO. Which I say is a good starting point for where does art end and pornography begin.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Way, here we are. What's the point of talking about it? Because you can't do anything about it, right? Wrong. We can do a lot about it. You say, well, what's the point of talking about what Obama's doing to the Marine Corps? What's the point of talking about the fact that he's lying about Iran? What's the point of talking about the lies about global warming? Because without conversation, we'll all be prisoners. We'll all be slaves. You can't let these liars get away with it. You got to stand up to them. How much of this crap can anyone take from this liar in the White House? How does this man get away with it, we ask ourselves every day? He's like a Houdini of the presidency. One disastrous policy after another, and he skates off it like nothing happened. Why? Ask yourself why? I have the answer why. The media. If we had a legitimate media in this country, the man would have been impeached in the first 2 years. I'll go a step further. If we had had a legitimate media attacking him and looking into him the way they're attacking Trump, this man wouldn't have gotten to the presidency, let alone to be a senator, because the man had associated with known terrorists and anti-Americans. And the very same vermin who looked the other way while this creature came up out of nowhere to destroy everything decent in this country are now attacking the one man who might right the ship before it goes down for good. And that's my opening. Now you say, well, are you bringing light to the darkness, or are you bringing darkness to the light? I'll let you figure it out. Oh, brother, listen to me. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, that's my answer. Or would you like me to sing another couplet from Kipling? Because I'm not going to do it. If you could bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, oh, yes, indeed, you can do that one as well. And so here we are in hour number two. I think the best thing for me to do before introducing new topics and new sound, which I have an ample amount of, is to take some of the callers who have been holding from hour one on the topics we talked about. If you just joined us, you'll catch right up, and you'll be right into the rhythm of things. Dennis on KSFO in San Francisco. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you were using your analogy of a light into the darkness in a tunnel. I'm sure you're familiar with Plato's allegory of the cave.
And I've used it many times on this program, which is why I talked about a light in the darkness. But, of course, there's another myth about the man carrying the lamp in the darkness. You know what that one is? Apparently you're an educated man.
The myth of the lamp, yeah. Well, there's a biblical reference to that, too, being the light of the world, a light on the top of the hill.
Well, that's Obama. No one can compete with the light he's bringing to the world, so I wouldn't even bring that up.
No.
What's your main point, Dennis?
The main point is that what you're talking about is your role in society. The philosopher comes out of the cave with all the prisoners and the people who have been indoctrinated into the shadows on the wall, and you come up to the light. And of course, the hardest part of that is then going back down into the cave again. And trying to enlighten these people. You're familiar with the allegory, obviously.
Yeah, but there's another element to it, which is that when we're alone and we're not in our profession of bringing light or bringing whatever we bring to the public, we have to go back into the tunnel of our own mind. That's the hardest place to be. Is the tunnel of our own mind when we're alone is the most threatening place for most of us to reside in, don't you think?
Well, exactly. It's fear. The people are so familiar with what it's like to be watching these shadows and then suddenly be enlightened to it. It's very, very fearful, and in many cases...
But here is the danger we are in. Here's the danger we're in, and I thank you for the call, Dennis. I received a pitch, as I do every morning, from various publishers or entities to be on the show. I look at them. And one of them came from a publisher. I'm not going to read the real name because I wouldn't give them the credit. Dear Michael, please see below. I'm booking interviews for San Francisco author and University of San Francisco professor. I'll call her Eva Braun, even though that's not her real name. Her new book on America's war crimes, America Nuremberg, the U.S. officials who should stand trial for post-9/11 war crimes, debuts nationwide today, says the hack. Prior to her career in academia, Eva Braun spent a few decades working in a variety of national and international movements for peace and justice, including living in the war zones of Nicaragua and South Africa. These movements include women's liberation, LGBT rights, movements in solidarity with the struggles of poor people in Central America, the anti-apartheid movement in the United States, and movements opposing U.S. wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And so she wants me to have her on the show to talk about we should have war crimes trials for U.S. officials who have fought against the vermin in ISIS and Al-Qaeda for all of these years. So I wrote her this answer. Normally I don't answer. I just, hit a delete. So Dr. S. wrote this. This is a collaborator's book. Your author is an example of the enemy of freedom. In Hitler's Germany, which side would this twisted creature have been on, I asked her. I didn't think I'd hear an answer. publicist writes back, "Dear Savage, I think you misunderstood her message. She is against war crimes, Nazi Germany's war crimes and present-day war crimes. If you'd like a copy of the book, please let me know. She is also available for interview." So Dr. S. responds, "Oh, no, you misunderstand. Your author is attacking those who have the guts to take on our enemies. Your author is a modern-day collaborationist with Al-Qaeda and ISIS." And she writes me a long email that says, "Savage, I have no idea how you could come up with that assessment other than you approve of war crimes as long as America is the country doing them, which makes us no better than our enemies." You've heard the standard liberal line, haven't you? And she goes on. She's stating that we as a nation were crucial in drafting international human rights laws, and we have been involved with punishing those who have breached those laws, such as the Nuremberg trials in World War II. Yet our current leaders have no problem breaking those same laws and committing war crimes whenever they see fit. Savage, don't you see the hypocrisy she is pointing out? Or maybe you do, and you think we as a country have the right to do whatever we want, even when we pledge not to commit war crimes. She's calling for those within our government who willingly broke international human rights laws, those very laws America helped to draft and put into place, to be put on trial for what they did. She says this is not a crazy idea. For example, those lower-ranking officers within our military who committed war crimes at Abu Ghraib prison were put on trial and faced punishment for what they did. However, those who sent the orders down to them faced no punishment for whatsoever to this day. Savage, she says, we can have the guts to take on our enemies without breaking international laws against human rights. Dr. Savage's response, which was not replied to, was a one-liner. "What a naive opinion," I wrote. "Does ISIS follow any laws, human or natural? With collaborationists like you and your author, the Nazis would have won World War II. I never heard from Eva Braun's publicist after that one. And so, my friends, we have to fight back. We have to fight the lies being put out by the vermin on the left, because they'll kill us all. Unless they are stopped, we'll all wind up in handcuffs. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And by the way, this big pitch names Donald Trump as a bad one because he said that he would use waterboarding. So she thought that she could use that as a pitch to sell Eva Braun's new book. If you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you spoke and twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up again with worn-out tools. Yes, my friends, Kipling is still alive. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. We're talking about so many different topics, it's hard to summarize them. So I think this is a good starting point to begin afresh with some new lies being put out by the evil ones in the government of Barry from Honolulu. So let us begin with the White House Communist Science Advisor, a lunatic from the get-go, John Holdren. I will tell you something about this madman's background in a few minutes. He is now putting out the lie in the midst of the war on terror that farmers and construction workers will die from climate change. That's right, you heard me. A few days after the bombs go off in Belgium by Islamofascists, the White House Maoist advisor, John Holdren, gives this speech in clip number 6.
In some parts of the world, when you look more broadly at this question, you see the likelihood that in the hottest times of the year, it will be simply physiologically impossible to work outdoors. That means agriculture, that means construction. People who try to work outdoors will basically be unable to control their body temperature and will die. This is a really, really big deal, and it's going to be a big deal in the hottest parts of the United States, as well as in the Middle East, in South Asia, and other places.
Now, doesn't he remind you of the pompous, idiotic professors you had your whole life? They get in front of a microphone and they think that by hearing their voice, they're actually making sense. What he just said to you is that when it's hot, you can't work outdoors when it's too hot. This is a science advisor. And that it's so hot, you shouldn't work outdoors because you're going to die when the global warming really hits. Now, we don't know when that's going to really happen. It was supposed to have hit already a few years ago. The really, really, really big deal of global warming should have come and gone by now. But it's not really hit yet, you see. But unless we do something like immediately, You construction workers out there, you blue-collar nuts who are going for Trump, you better be careful because you're going to actually die. And then we should really worry about Southeast Asia and the heat. See, we should do something about the global warming because it's going to kill all of the agricultural workers in Asia. And that's your problem as well, says Barry Obama's nutcase science advisor, John Holdren. But it gets even better. He really ramps it up. In the next one, in clip number 7, here's the nutcase again about the dangers of heat in the summer and how you should stay indoors and not pull crops in the heat. Listen to number 7.
The report projects that under middle-of-the-road emissions scenarios, we could see from thousands to tens of thousands additional heat-related deaths in the United States each summer. The numbers are really very striking, and it comes from the fact that modest increases in average temperature are associated with large increases at the tails of the distribution. And that means big increases in extreme heat events, extremely hot days, and heat waves, which mean 5 or more extremely hot days in a row.
See, this is he's amongst the 98% of scientists who tell us that global warming is real. This is the kind of moron, this is the kind of nut that in my day would have been in Creedmoor Mental Hospital in Queens, New York, behind locked doors, or released in the streets on Thorazine. But today, they're advisors to Barry Obama, who himself is deranged, in my humble opinion. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. So I'm pleased to see that my idea, this originated on the Savage Nation, that foreign transfers from Mexicans, Chinese, Russians living in America sent to the home country through Western Union, was picked up by the Trump campaign. Of course, they didn't get it right. I didn't say block money transfers. They got it half right. I said, put a transfer tax on the money transfers. That way everyone wins. And I wish that the campaign would pay closer attention to my statements on the show or read my book, Government Zero, or Stop the Coming Civil War, to get it right. But okay, they got it half right, which is better than most of the candidates who have it zero right. And we're talking about disinformation. We're talking about the craziness that's coming out of every quarter of our lives. Let me give you a local story. I live in a couple of different places around the country. Let's put it to you that way. One of them is north of San Francisco, a bucolic area. And I have a home that's adjacent to another home that I can't see because it's on a number of acres, his home. And the guy's raising chickens, and it bothers me to listen to roosters at night. So I, for a couple of months, have been trying to deal with the so-called planning commission of this town. So they said, well, there's no chickens there. They went there and inspected. They found no chickens. Now, we hear it every night. Everyone hears this. Everyone knows what a rooster sounds like. So my assistant recorded the chicken, the rooster. And we sent it to the nut at the town. So she says, on March 22nd, 2016, staff received an email with a video from your assistant. The video provided multiple sounds of birds. However, staff was unable to discern any sounds relating to chickens. Can you provide in writing which sound from the 44-second video you believe are chickens? I thought this was incredibly funny. It's something that you would see in a Russian novel. The staff is extremely left-wing. They know that I'm a conservative, so they're trying to drive me crazy. What they don't know is that they're going to drive themselves crazy when the world is finally, when the world finally hears the insanity of this town, which are, by the way, one more letter I'll read. The next one I'll read her name and the town I'm talking about. Can anyone listening to this show tell me that you can't discern the sound of a rooster from any other bird? Everyone knows what a rooster sounds like. Everyone except the associate planner in the town of T, California. But this is what I have to put up with because I am a conservative in a psychopathic communist liberal area where bureaucrats who don't even live in the town try to make everyone's life totally impossible to follow. If you have any further evidence regarding the presence of chickens on the subject property, she writes, please provide that evidence to the town in writing. Well, need I bring an egg to the town laid by the neighbor's chicken? I sent a recording, you nut. So I guess now we have to go out with specialized CIA recording devices to record chickens. I don't know of anyone in the world who doesn't follow what I'm saying to them. I think Shakespeare wrote about little women like this. I think the Soviets knew about little women like this. I think that all of you who follow politics in America know about little men and women like this. They're found in every town and village in the United States of America. This is the Savage Nation, back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Now I'm getting solicitations from Uber Eats on my incoming email. I'm supposed to now have Uber deliver food. But it gets even worse. There's another feature, another app, where people ride along with your food. Not only do they deliver food, but you have strangers sitting in the car with your food. Isn't that great? In San Francisco in particular, where the health level is just so high. So you can order through Uber or whatever the service is to have food delivered to your house. And they'll pick people up along the way that you don't even know. They'll be sitting next to your open food. Good. It's good, good. Today's the opening day, I guess, of sports events here in the San Francisco Giants. Oh, Giants, go! See the idiots with the hats on, with the cars, with the antennas. The morons with the driveways. They put Giants on their curb. The world is aflame. Lies everywhere. ISIS is raping their way across the Middle East. The maniac in the White House is printing money. Go Giants! Yeah, go Giants! Hey, that's the biggest thing on their mind. Go Giants. Well, I guess people, that's a free country. So you can do what you want. You want to be an idiot? Put your hat on backwards? Go ahead. Be my guest. But don't demand that I put my hat on backwards, because I won't do it. No siree barbaroo. I will not put my hat on backwards. So now let's go on to the next big lie. World is afire. Bombs are going off in Europe from Islamo-fascists. Your president edits the word Islam, Islamo-fascist, Muslim from any speech given by anyone in the world, including the president of France. When he was here the other day, he said, we've got to conquer this terror of Islamic terror. And Obama edits the words. In other words, censors the words from the French president to keep you focused on baseball and food. And now, of course, they come out a few days after the bombing in Belgium talking about global warming. Farmers are going to die. Construction work will die. And now here comes John Kerry, one of the greatest war criminals in history, a man who lied about the Iran deal, for example, giving the terrorist nation of Iran the right to build a nuclear weapon and to launch missiles at Europe and Israel and America eventually. Now, instead of talking about that Iran is violating the Iran agreement, pushed forward by Barry from Honolulu with one big lie after another, here comes John Kerry to talk not about Iran's violation of the Iran agreement that he crafted so carefully with his undertaker's look, but about global warming. Listen to clip number 8.
There isn't one candidate in the Republican Party who has publicly taken a position to do something about climate change. Not one. Now, when you look at the country as a whole, the United States of America, more than 65%, 68% or so of the American people believe climate change is happening, believe human beings are partly responsible, and believe we ought to be doing something serious about it.
Believe. See, the operational word is believe. So they've only brainwashed, despite the constant drumbeat and propaganda, they've only brainwashed 65% of the morons out there. The idiots who are on drugs, never went to high school, the idiots who can't add, the idiots who take everything that the government tells them as a gospel. And now he goes on, not talking about the threat of Islamofascism and the dangers of bringing unvetted Muslims into America, but he talks about the boogeyman of global warming. Richard Scarry's book, Where the Wild Things Are, is something that, of course, you know, liberals fear every night, is not Islamofascism, not a bomb going off, but the hobgoblin of global warming. The global warming hobgoblin is so real to them that they can't sleep at night. It appears in their dark bedrooms. And there is global warming coming to threaten them in their little bedrooms. So here comes Kerry putting out the hobgoblin of global warming again in number 9.
And there's a new report just came out yesterday. It's in today's paper from the EPA saying that the increase of sickness, of deaths as a result of air pollution and cancer, heat, and other things
is going to have profound cost impact and life impact on
people
on a global basis. I think the average person understands what's happening. You look at the quality of the storms, the number of storms, the damages. We spent something like $350 billion in the United States last year just to fix up the damage from storms. Imagine what would happen if you took a tiny percentage of that and put it into renewable alternative energy and kicked the market into gear. And by the way,
millions of jobs... It's the green gangsters. There is more money being made on the green racket than it was ever made, I think, probably in illicit drugs. My guess is that there's more money being stolen from the green racketeers than could be made in the coke business in any one year. I don't know the exact numbers, but my guesstimate is that there's more money being stolen by husbands, by wives, by relatives, by sons of sitting congressmen and senators in the global warming business. The side business of Congress, by the way, is the global warming industry. They make a fortune off it. Their sons and daughters set up these businesses. Oh, yeah, follow it. Follow the money. Don't expect the chorus boy Anderson Cooper to do such an investigation. Don't expect the old Wolfie Seltzer boy Blitzer to do it. No, no, no. They'll focus on Donald Trump's missteps. That's the important stuff. Don't look into the green gangsters. Don't look into green gangsterism. Don't look into the billions stolen and that are being stolen, have been stolen in loans, guarantees. You heard of Solyndra? That's just a drop in the bucket. But I'm not going to get angry because then I would no longer be bringing a candle to the darkness. It's easy to get angry, very angry, when you see that the media is complicit with the government in stealing your tax dollars and lying to you about things like this in a time of terror. It's really exasperating. But okay, that's what we do for a living here. And so after talking about all of that, Kerry finally gets around to Iran. Remember he sold us on the Iran deal, how important it was and how they wouldn't violate it? Iran was screaming yesterday that they never, ever agreed. They said Obama lied, that they never agreed to control their missile program. Never. They said Obama lied about it. Oh, I'm shocked. Even Iran is telling us Obama lied. So who's lying, Obama or Iran? Who lied more, Iran, Kerry, or Obama? It's hard to say. Well, all we know is they all lied about the deal. And it's only a matter of time until the maniacs in Iran, the religious fanatics in Iran, launch a few missiles at Israel. God knows what will happen then. I have no idea what will happen if they launch against Iran. Or how about this for a nice idea? What if the fat slob in North Korea, the maniac, that while his people are starving to death eating straw, eating leather belts, this fat pig is now 300 pounds, and this fat maniac threatens to launch a nuclear missile at Los Angeles or Honolulu or Alaska. Does that bother you at all? Can you imagine if this rogue, insane nation of North Korea, which was empowered, by the way, by the Clintons again, they would not have had this technology had it not been for, I believe it was Bernie Schwartz, who gave it to China for profit, lied to us about this going all the way back. Now North Korea got it from China. North Korea can now launch against the United States of America, and we're worried about the hobgoblin of global warming. When I was a kid, we were taught to expect a nuclear attack at any time. We were raised in the shadow of the threat of a nuclear conflagration brought about by a war between the Soviet Union and the United States of America. When I grew up as a kid in my middle class neighborhood of Queens, New York, when we moved from the Bronx, there were Nike missile silos all over the neighborhood. Do you know this? Can you believe what I'm telling you? In other words, I would take a bike ride from my house. And as I was bicycle riding out past Alley Pond Park or whatever it was, there were Nike missile emplacements pointed to the sky surrounded by fences. None of us thought of jumping over a fence and damaging the Nike missile because we were all little patriotic kids. We knew that they were there to help us. You see, we had not yet had the invasion from the third world. The third world garbage had not yet been brought into America to hate this country and to undermine everything decent in the country. I'm about to explode in a negative way, so I'll control the epileptic fit. I'll control the mental epileptic fit that almost exploded, the lightning storm that almost released itself upon the airwaves. So today, there are no Nike missiles pointed towards the Soviet Union to defend neighborhoods. And so we were taught duck and cover. If you go back, as I do, to those days, We're told, all right, children, in the middle of a class, the teacher would say, duck and cover. It was a simulated nuclear attack. And we turned it into a game. We weren't afraid of it. We got under our desks. We went in the closets. We pulled the girls' hair. They pulled our ears. Whatever kids do, we giggled our way through the simulated nuclear attack. But we were told to prepare for it. We were told to get out of the way of shattering glass coming through the window. Then we were told that if we're in the street to go into a subway, how is it that we are not prepared for a nuclear attack or an EMT blast in this country? How is it that this maniac in the White House never mentions the threat of a possible nuclear attack on the United States of America? Well, he did the other day, in a way. He said, well, thus far, no terrorist group has been able to get their hands on a nuclear weapon or a dirty bomb. He said, thus far. Again, he always couches everything in that academic, legalistic way of his. But what if one of their fellow travelers already here, hiding inside a religious institution, should be carrying one as I speak in a suitcase, and they set it off inside, God forbid, a grand railroad station or a stadium in the United States of America? Would you be prepared? Would you know what to do? No, of course you wouldn't. You wouldn't even know the basics of what to do. Nothing. You're not taught any civil defense escape plans at all. Nothing. You're not taught anything by this lying, thieving, criminal government media complex. Not one word about the potential for an EMT blast, what to do in that event. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. My name is Hal. I was created in 1989. I was taught to sing Daisy. Daisy, Daisy. See, this is what we're living through right now. A massive, massive propaganda campaign by the most evil, psychopathic... I can't finish the sentence because I'll bring darkness to the light, or shall I bring light to the darkness? Do you have any idea the danger we are in? No, of course not. Because if you did, you might have to do something about it. You might have to think. And by the way, thinking to the average person is one of the most threatening things in the world. It's much better to drive around in a car with the radio blasting and filling your head with Prozac, marijuana, alcohol, hot dogs, hamburgers, and liberal lies. It's much safer to fill your head with liberal rubbish that global warming is the greatest threat. Not an EMT blast or a nuclear blast. Not an invasion by the third world being conducted by the most devious administration in modern American history without a sound being heard from the opposition, so to speak, except one lone ranger, Donald Trump. By the way, if you want to get your mind all off all of this, go to michaelsavage.com and see my new book, which should be titled Confessions of a Service Human. It's called Teddy and Me. It's basically a picture book of a couple of days in the life of me and my dog, but it's got 10,000 words. There's some really good writing in there, if I must say so myself. And I'll start reading from the book next week about why I thought it was an important book about dogs and man and pets and a more general discussion of what it's like to be a service human. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. All right, so in the midst of all this political turmoil and this madness and this hatred and this anger and these lies, I decided a year ago that I put something out for this exact season, which is my dog book, Teddy and Me, Confessions of a Service Human. There's very little politics in it. I can't say there is no political point of view, but it's not about politics. It's about the escape from politics with a dog. But it's a little political, Teddy and Me. Chapter 1, you can judge people by how they treat dogs. Chapter 2 is best friends. Chapter 3 is Teddy is my co-pilot. Chapter 4 is the Jerome story, how I learned to communicate with dogs. Chapter 5 is a fairy tale, a bedtime story I wrote for children called Teddy and the Bears, which unto itself was a little classic. 6 is actually one of the best, which is all my other dogs and their stories, which I'm going to read to you in a few minutes, especially Bandit, who I got from a Hell's Angel on a day of his release from San Quentin. It's an amazing story. It's all true. And number seven is Teddy inspires me on inspiration. I want to read from this over the next few days and weeks. And you could check out Teddy and me on michaelsavage.com or on Amazon or on BNN, Confessions of a Service Human. I think it's going to bring a lot of light to people's faces and souls and make them happy. It's a great Mother's Day gift, which is why I timed it for this time, because I think we all need a break. I'd love to find that chapter I could do Teddy as my co-pilot. I admit I believe in God, but while driving, Teddy is my co-pilot. He reflects my attitudes and instincts and sometimes guides them. You see, we usually live outside of San Francisco, so he has a little grassy lawn to run on, a grassy hill to play on. He likes the gulls and cormorants, the seals and other sea creatures right off our back deck. On days he's not feeling well, as his service human, I hold him in my arms and point out the birdies, as we call them, diving for fish or the occasional moldy bagel I throw into the bay. He sits by my side watching each and every radio show. In fact, I'll bet he knows more about politics than any dog in the world, even the White House dog, Bo. But he does get bored lying on the floor, guarding my radio equipment, even nipping at the engineer's sneakers when he comes over to tweak my equipment. So at least once a week, I drive Teddy over the Golden Gate Bridge to San Francisco. We head to my apartment downtown, which I refer to as Tedivator, because his eyes widen with anticipation at the thought of this marvelous, gravity-defying machine, which whisks us up to the high floors where he can stare down at the bay, boats, and people. But I'm getting ahead of my story about being the most grateful service human in America. The minute we get over the bridge, Teddy stands up and starts gaping at all the people in the streets of San Francisco. He loves when I have to stop at a traffic light on Lombard Street so he can see the flow of humans, the stores, the restaurants, even the cars next to us at the red light. I know he's starved for simulation. Those gulls and seals have their limits, you see. Anyway, the minute we hit the garage in the building, and there's more in that chapter, which you can read for yourself. And when I come back, I'll read more from Teddy and Me, Confessions of a Service Human. It's a delightful book, and it's made to delight. Notice what word is in delight. It's called light. That's why I seek to delight you. Because what we hear normally from the media is the opposite. It's the darkness in you. It's not delighting you. It's depressing you, which is taking the light out of your soul. This is the Savage Nation, another hour. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Please indulge me in my fantasy as I spend every day dreaming about an America that once existed, that was slowly whittled away until eventually it disappeared altogether. I admit the sky is still blue and the clouds are still white. I believe that the mountains are still standing and the sea is still flowing. But the America that I grew up in has been stolen from me. And standing in the sidelines waiting to take the reins of this destruction is, let us see, Hillary Clinton, a brand new entity on the political scene. We have no idea what she stands for. Just that she's a woman, and because she's not a man, she deserves to be president, I guess. We should forget all the damage she has done. Forget about the co-presidency. I don't care about that. Just her tenure as Secretary of State alone should have indicted her with the Hague for the war crime she committed in destroying Syria, in destroying Egypt, in destroying Libya, and causing the refugee tidal wave that is sweeping over Europe. She did it. She owns it. And she's talking about fair pay for women. And then, of course, the Rachel Madcows of the world jump aboard. They're all too quick, of course, to pretend that there are no problems in the world other than women are not getting fair pay and that we should focus on the dangers of climate change, not on the invasion of America or the destruction of all of our institutions. Anyway, you get the picture. And on the other side, what do we have? We have Trump and Cruz. Shall I go into it again? Not going to do it. You've already made up your mind. The camps have divided themselves up. We know how it's going to go out. Trump is probably, we don't know tonight. No one knows. Oh, everyone, he's going to lose, and Trump, Cruz is going to win. Cruz wins and he loses is different. Who knows? Who knows? I'm not going to sit here like we know what's going to happen tonight in Wisconsin. And if he loses in Wisconsin, big deal. So he'll win in New York. You're going to hear about that from the posers in the media. Are you going to hear about the reality of what's going on in the world? I doubt it. So, you know, I've introduced about 12, 15 topics so far with some detail in the first 2 hours. Molenbeek, the Belgian hit and run, sin taxes, women in combat in the Marines, why are you, Western Union transfers derived from my show, nuclear material, EMP blasts, so many topics that the idea clock has now come to the point where it's time for you to talk and for the rest of us to listen. So let's go to KSFO Online. Mike, welcome to the program. What's on your mind today? Which topic struck a chord with you?
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. Just want to comment on your statements about the duck and cover and the sad state of affairs for first responders when it comes to radiological and nuclear preparedness. It's just absolutely dismal.
Well, can we have more? Of course it's dismal. Are you in the field?
Yes, sir, I am.
What do you do exactly in this area?
I do planning, training, exercise, instrumentation, you name it, at the state, local, and federal level. I'd rather not say any more because of, you know, risk of identification.
No, I understand, but what do you mean? You actually work in the field of planning for a nuclear attack?
Correct.
Is this country at all prepared for a dirty bomb to be dropped in San Francisco or New York?
Sadly, not really.
Now, I understand that there are major industrial nations on Earth which have underground bomb shelters, by the way, in case of a threatened nuclear exchange. We, of course, do not have such places for the population to go. What should the... I know it's a crazy topic in the middle of a spring day. People are focused on the Giants and the ball game. But what if one of our visitors from abroad were to detonate a suitcase nuke somewhere in New York? How much... Would we have any advance notice?
No, sir, you wouldn't. And that ties right into the EMP that you mentioned and, you know, the grid going down and contamination for many, many years. The initial blast and thermal pulse, all of these things are just things that the responders themselves, command, don't really want to get into. They're too busy.
All right, hold on. What about Congress and the president? Don't they have a hiding place somewhere in Virginia?
There's multiple hiding places, sir. Yes, that's correct.
So they have a place to run to and hide and sit out a nuclear exchange or a dirty bomb, and we, the idiot gray mice, have nowhere to go. Is that correct? We're supposed to be afraid of global warming? That's what we're supposed to be worried about?
That's a true statement, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, I think that says it all. What's the point of talking about it? We live in a time of a criminal government. 400 of the worst gangsters in the world have a place to hide if this should happen, and we have nowhere to go. How do you like that? I hope you don't like it, because there's nothing you can do about it if you do like it. Bernie's gonna save us from the meanies. He's gonna take it away from everyone with money. Isn't that what you want, all you Bernie haters, you Bernie lovers out there? All you people with the broken cars, with the mean faces and the clipped hair? All of you drive around with such hatred seething underneath the surface. All of you cut everyone off from the right lane in the name of peace and love. Isn't that what you really want, is to take away from those who have done better than you in life because you know that you deserve it? Isn't that what you really mean by fairness? Okay, you get the picture. KSFO Dave, let's talk about your topic. I don't know if people even want to do this, but I'm going to do it for a little while. I raised the issue, so let's continue with it. Dave, Mike, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Mike, look at San Francisco. There's no escape here if there was ever any attack. I mean, you know, we got the two bridges. I live in the city here. You live up there. We got two bridges. There's, you know, everybody would die here. There was a time when San Francisco had defenses. They had Ajax and Hercules missiles that could, at that time, back in the early days of the Cold War, they could travel like 50, 60 miles. One of them could travel 90 miles, and they were nuclear-tipped.
Yeah, but we don't need Hercules missiles. We need a border patrol to kick the illegal aliens out who are harboring a hatred for this country in San Francisco and everywhere else in the country. That's what we need. We don't need Ajax missiles. We need a president who's going to unleash the border patrol on the enemy within. That's what we really need.
Build a fence at Daly City, then, for San Francisco.
We need a president who will unleash the border patrol and the DHS on the enemy within. Those who are here, who harbor hatred for this country, who are plotting to destroy this country from within. We do not need missiles pointed at the Soviet Union, China, or North Korea. We need Border Patrol agents and a real DHS run by a real Department of Homeland Security, not by this clown from Wall Street, Jay Johnson. So have we covered the hard stuff now? Can we move on? I don't think so. I think people want to talk about this stuff. KLIF in Dallas, Texas. Michael, go ahead, please.
Michael, as a former retired Marine Corps combat arms officer witnessing the complete continued destruction of my beloved Marine Corps, I took the trouble to look at the resume of the warriorette that they are sending out to teach male Marines how to be accept women warriors. She barely holds marksmanship qualification. She is adorned with what I call,
let me catch the listeners up. I was talking about the death of the U.S. Marine Corps and how the Maoists in the communist government of Obama are pushing women onto the Marines to fight in combat. And they have this idiot, Colonel Ann Weinberg, so-called deputy director of the Marine Corps Force Innovation Office, who are brainwashing the Marines into accepting women in ground combat jobs, and they've given out commanders' toolkits, including pregnancy simulators, breast pumps, lactation station overlays for combat. I'm not making any of this up. How in the world can they get away with this? And who is this Ann Weinberg? What's her background, Michael?
Well, her background is she holds no combat decorations, she hasn't served in combat, she barely is qualified with a service rifle and pistol, which was probably gerrymandered in, and it continues from my realm, passed over male Silver Star winners that should have been in positions of leadership. I'm bleeding for my Marine Corps. I see warriors. Michael, we want to fight, but we're being just...
Well, this is why I say, you know, Trump has taken some of my best ideas, like the idea of remittances on Western Union and what... I have to pray that he wins, and I have to pray that he asks me for my blueprint for saving the military, because one of the ideas in this blueprint would be to bring back the Silver Star Marines and throw out all of these political appointees immediately, throw them out of the military, get rid of them, let them sue, let them scream, let them go to the ACLU, just say to them, take a walk, sue us, we don't care. We're not going to let you destroy this Marine Corps, get out. You're not qualified. We're putting back combat Marines. We're putting them back, all the people who have been driven out or have left because of the insanity coming out of the Maoist regime. Is that a doable idea?
Very doable. Bring back the warriors, yes. And we have warriors now, but they can't say a darn thing. And I see the two warriors that run the Marine Corps and run JCS, and they have to walk around like shuffling, stooped men. And they're warriors, and it's an abomination.
So Obama has broken the spirit. Obama has broken the spirit of our fighting men. In plain English, this evil doer in the White House, this smiling, smirking, anti-American evil doer has done this. Exactly everything we feared, he's done this. And now he wants to put the final sword into the heart of the bull.
In conclusion, serving in the field in the combat arms environment is tough. I know it. We had to bring in extra showers. Hygiene is different. Everything is different. They don't have the upper body strength, and it just is not going to work.
But that's what Colonel Ann Weinberg is going to tell the Marine Corps they're wrong about. She says that is a microaggression against the women. That if you believe that they don't have the same upper body strength as men, that's a microaggression. If you believe that women possess a myriad of hygiene issues in the field that men do not have, that's a microaggression against women.
The Marine Corps used to be known as the President's Own, and it's our last greatest chance, and I'm not being entirely parochial here, but I know that they can fight, and they're being torn apart, and it's not going to work. And we might as well wave the white flag right now, because I'm going to be the first one they stood up against the wall and shoot.
Let's hope it doesn't come to that. And let's not go there, because there's a lot I could say right now about what must be done to save the military should Trump or Cruz, for that matter, become president. The only question is, will they have the grit and the guts and the leadership qualities necessary to do that first? You see, if I were advising either of these men, and I'm not, but if I were, one of the first things I would do, in addition to worrying about the illegal immigration issue, is the military, because to me, national security is paramount. And so I think that I would focus in the first days of my administration, if I were advising them, to focus on firing all of these political appointees who are the equivalent of Soviet KGB officers who operated in the day, the Soviet Zampolits, they were called, Zampolits, or political officers. They were never combat officers, like Anne Weinberg, in my opinion. They wear the uniform, but they're nothing but KGB operatives who are there simply to make certain that everyone toes the line and follows the party line. You throw them out, you let them sue if they want, and let it just rot in court, and you bring back all the men who were thrown out of the military or quit on their own volition, and you rebuild the military one colonel, one captain at a time. That's what I would do if I were tasked with advising this, and certainly you can find someone to do this for us. So that's one thing to do. There are many things that need to be done after the death of this country, after the knife has been put to the Marines, for example, and so many other aspects of this great nation. So she's going to go around the military. Marines across the Corps will be challenged on their unconscious prejudices as women are shoved down their throats to be on the front lines with them. If they have an unconscious supposition about women, such as women possess a myriad of hygiene issues in the field that men do not have, or that women don't have the same upper body strength, or that they're more prone to injuries, they are going to be told that they are wrong, and their brains will be washed and cleansed of any such notions. Welcome to the United States of the Soviet America. On the Barry from Honolulu.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So, in a time of terror, we have John Kerry telling us that climate change is the greatest threat to our survival, and that working in the sun is going to be really, really hard in the near future. That's really something, isn't it? And then, to cover up the deal he did with Iran, remember how he did shuttle diplomacy, like the useful idiot he is of the Islamists? He went back and forth telling us Iran was going to comply. They're not complying. So now they're telling Iran that they better behave. Listen to clip 10 of the useful idiot John Kerry.
Why not help more to try to end the conflict in Syria? And it's the lack of that effort and, frankly, the weapons that have been intercepted in the recent months. We just had an interception last week by the United States Navy.
Right.
The Australian Navy had an interception the month before that and the month before that. That is, by everybody's standard, unacceptable behavior. And what it's going to do is create an uncertainty in business judgments about whether or not it's going to be safe to invest.
Right.
So Iran is complaining to us, hey, we're not getting all the benefits we saw. Well, the simple answer is behave differently.
Right.
Engage in the world.
Mm-hmm. See here the dumb interlocutor? Right. You can't tell the Islamists to behave better. They're definitely going to comply. And if you behave better, you'll have more people like Dianne Feinstein's husband rushing over there to do business with you. And the airlines and the hotel chains. The type who built the trucks for Hitler. The same type who built the trucks for the Soviet Union before World War II. The same types who built the railroad lines to Auschwitz are rushing to Iran right now to do business with Iran. And they're telling, you think that's going to stop these business people from doing business with Iran? Are you kidding me? Why don't you punish them, Mr. Kerry, instead of telling Iran to do what you know they're never going to do? Anyway, you get the picture. It's a mad, 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 mad world. And I, Michael Savage, am trying to bring some sanity to a mad, mad world. Be here or be nowhere. We're going to talk about the death of the U.S. Marine Corps under Barack Obama. It came to me from USDefenseWatch.com. As reported this week by Military.com, Marines across the Corps will be challenged on their unconscious prejudices and presuppositions, in other words, thought control, as women get the opportunity to become Marines for the first time. Unconscious prejudices and the opportunity to become grunts for the first time. Unconscious prejudices by Marines and presuppositions defined as simple facts such as women lack the upper body strength, the aerobic lung capacity, testosterone for aggressiveness, that they're more prone to injuries, while they possess a myriad of hygiene issues in the field that men do not encounter. Those are all false. You get that out of your head. Women are not different than men. They have no hygienic differences on the field. You get that out of your mind. Where did you get that trash from, that misogynistic garbage? That's what they're going to tell the men to think about. How? The Marine Corps is rolling out mandatory training for all Marines for the first time in history in order to brainwash them into believing what is false and forgetting what is real. That's Barack Obama the liar at work, who's on a vendetta, on a crash program to destroy the Marine Corps before he is finally sent out to pasture to ruin the world. The U.S. Marines are the latest casualty in the Maoist Cultural Revolution being shoved down the throat of the military and incinerating the fighting spirit and readiness of the armed forces like a five-alarm fire. They're sending out psychopathic women, like Colonel Ann Weinberg, a real hero, Colonel Ann Weinberg. She's going to go around the country like modern-day Soviet zampolites or political officers in order to brainwash officers in the Marines that putting women in combat units on the front lines is doable and unnegotiable. So I'll give you some of the examples of what they're going to do, because if I wrote this, you'd say I'm making it up and I'm biased. I'm reading an article from USDefenseWatch.com on the Savage Nation. But I'll summarize it with the end of the article. The Marine Corps rolled out a commander's toolkit of optional online classes on similar topics in late 2014 when Barry was still in his heyday, as they were getting ready to force women on the front lines. And the U.S. Marine Corps commander's toolkit in 2016 includes not how to defeat ISIS by killing them first, not how to shoot the enemy in the face before he shoots you in the face first, but, and I'm not making this up, this is a kit given out to commanders of the Marine Corps by Barry's insane commanders, pregnancy simulators, breast pumps, tactical lactation station overlays, red high heels, and a proper procedure to set up a unisex latrine. If I made this up, you'd say you're crazy. It's not even funny, but I'm not making it up. These are insane communists running the military, put in power by the most insane president in American history. You're going to understand why we'll never be able to win a war again, and that ISIS is laughing all their way to Geneva. We must stop these Maoist psychotics before they destroy the last great fighting force on the planet. And when we have a man in the White House who is more concerned with the economy of Mexico than he is with the economy of America, when we have a man who is like King Ludwig II, look it up, King Ludwig, the Mad King of Bavaria, who bankrupted his own treasury for his own self-aggrandizement. He built a palace on one of the lakes in Bavaria called Schloss Herrenchiemsee. He was a young king, was not ready for the job like Obama, and he was a profligate spender, and he was a madman. And he bankrupted the Bavarian treasury by building these edifices for himself, including a copy of the Palace of Versailles on this lake in Bavaria. It bankrupted the Bavarian treasury. It was a direct copy of the Palace of Versailles, in the middle of nowhere in Bavaria. That's why they called him the Mad King of Bavaria, King Ludwig II. Obama is kind of a King Ludwig II. The difference is that we have no sober statesman to stop him, which they should have stopped him at Munich. That's a joke, for those of you who know what that means. If this guy had been stopped at Munich back in the first 4 years of his regime for the excesses he was pulling off on the American people, we wouldn't be in the situation we are in today. But we are in the situation. And the madman is not going to stop, because no one's stopping him. No one's even criticizing him anymore. Okay, so I feel obliged to talk about this. I think it's a very big story. I can't ask you to comment on this, because you can't say anything I haven't said already. Donald Trump laid out a step-by-step plan today that he said would force Mexico to pay for a wall along the U.S. border. And he threatened to block billions in aid sent to Mexico by Mexican nationals. And what he said is his first step would be to propose a rule that, quote, no alien may wire money outside the United States without providing proof they are here legally. This rule would specifically regulate Western Union and other wire transfer firms by modifying the post-September 11th USA Patriot Act, according to a plan released by the campaign today. Now, does anyone who listens to this show deny that came from this program? Because we put this up on the air. We said, block Western Union, but we added something to it. Remittance tax on all transfers. This specifically came from the Savage Nation. We actually, I didn't say block the transfer of money to Mexico from Mexican nationals living here. I said put a 4% transfer tax on all transfers to Mexico and Russia and China and Poland and Hungary and Italy and Uruguay. In other words, every transfer would have a transfer tax on it that would go to the United States of America. That's called America First. So he was attacked for this right away by the goofball in the White House who thinks only of what's good for other countries and puts America last. I estimated $24 billion. That's the number that's quoted, by the way, by the Associated Press. That's the number used by Donald Trump. Don't confuse yourself for a minute. I am the idea man in the United States of America in radio. I don't care what anyone says or doesn't say about me. When I see my ideas being offered or used by others, I am very happy. Because I'm like Lao Tzu. I don't care who uses my ideas as long as they use my ideas. That's use enough for me. But they got it half right and they got it half wrong. I didn't say block transfers to Mexico. I said put a 4% remittance tax on all transfers to Mexico. They're not paying taxes on the money. They're basically earning money in America one way or the other, either under the table, over the table, evading taxes, avoiding taxes, getting freebies so they can afford to send money back to their home country. That's not good. If they pay their fair share of taxes here, they wouldn't be having the money, extra money to send back home. So tax it. 4% isn't enough, by the way, because 4% of $24 billion is not very much money when it's being when we're bleeding this much money that we are bleeding today. $24 billion in remittances to Mexico, it's probably much higher than that. I don't know the exact number. That's a number I came up with. Surely Donald Trump's people could have gotten better research than me. But okay, I'm glad they're using my idea. But make it a 10% tax. That's only $2.4 billion a year. That's nothing. That's chicken feed. That would hardly pay for Hillary Clinton's campaign. That would hardly pay for Michelle Obama's travels around the world and her 70 assistants for the next 5 years. So we need a higher than 10% remittance tax on the money being sent out of the country. But right away, the goofball attacks Donald Trump and doesn't think of what this means for America, the American taxpayer. He said the notion that we're going to track every Western Union bit of money sent to Mexico, good luck with that. First of all, that's a big lie. Everything that comes out of this man's mouth is political and a lie. That we know. I mean, there's no currency in me telling you Obama's a serial liar or a psychopathic liar or a pathological liar. You know that already. But his statements make no sense. First of all, they do track every Western Union transfer right now. What do you mean the idea that we can track every Western Union transfer? Good luck with that. They do it right now for tax evaders. How come they can track every rich person's transfer of money to overseas accounts and they can't track a gardener's sending of money to Mexico? That's absurd. Every Western Union transfer is recorded and noted and known. And by the way, there are laws on the books right now to track every foreign transfer going out of this country. He's lying again, and he's lying specifically to protect the illegal aliens working in this country, ripping us off by not paying their fair share of taxes and sending the money home to their relatives to prop up their rotten third world socialist dictatorship back home. Other leverage points raised by Donald Trump, spelled out, include canceling visas and hiking entrance fees. Trump predicts that with $24 billion in remittances on the line, Mexico will balk. Trump said Mexicans in the U.S. send about $24 billion a year home to relatives. Again, that came directly from my last book, Government Zero. I think the number's much higher. Washington Post reports that includes all remittances sent back to Mexico from countries around the world, not just those from the U.S. I don't think that's true. Trump said his threats would be lifted after Mexico made a one-time payment of up to $10 billion. It's an easy decision for Mexico, said Donald Trump. Make a one-time payment of $5 billion to $10 billion to ensure that $24 billion continues to flow into their country year after year. Obama, of course, ridiculed the idea. He said the idea was half-baked. He said that the notion that we're going to track every Western Union bit of money as being sent, good luck with that. That's a lie. Then he said if the remittances were halted, that would lead to more immigrants coming north. Well, wouldn't, if you had a wall, they wouldn't come north. They'd have to stay there in their own country. And then the country would be poorer than it already is, which is not my problem. My problem is the illegal immigrants coming here making this country poorer by not contributing to it. This is not all immigrants. This is not every immigrant. This is not limited to Mexico, but it's primarily Mexico that is causing the problem because we have an open, porous border created by Hillary Clinton when she was a co-president. It was, after all, it was Hillary Clinton as co-president while Bill was diddling around in the East Room, West Room, North Room, South Room, every room. Every room, North Room, East Room, West Wing, East Wing. While the business of government was being conducted, he was chasing interns around the White House. So it was Hillary who was running the country. She is the one who caused this meltdown of our economy, the meltdown of our jobs through NAFTA. Be clear about this. She's not a novice. She's not a neophyte. She's nothing new to the campaign. She's the one who wrecked everything when she was in the White House. Well, how can you not attach NAFTA to Hillary Clinton if you're a leftist? Well, you say, well, I do. That's why I'm voting for the communist Bernie Sanders. Good luck with that. Good luck with that, yeah. Go, Bernie, go. Right to Moscow. Moscow would deport him immediately because they had their share of communism. They know where this kind of nonsense leads. Now, I'm not running for office. Don't confuse me with a politician. But if my ideas are going to be used by a campaign, and I hope they are, I hope they continue to use them, they should get it right. I didn't say block all transfers. I didn't say block all transfers. I said put a transfer tax on all transfers. At first I said 4%, but it doesn't add up to enough money. 10% isn't enough money. $2.4 billion is chicken feed for this economy. And maybe we have to put something like a 30% transfer tax on it. Now, that will deter sending the money overseas, and they may have to spend it here, which would be very good for this economy. You know, maybe they'd have to buy their own things instead of waiting for a government check or something like that. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Got your hat on backwards, heading out to the ball game. So this morning I read something about, check out the CIA operative's nine-step hotel safety checklist. What? It was written by a veteran of the Marines and a former CIA operative. And he said if you go in and out of hotels in not the safest parts of the world, bed bugs are the least of your problems. And he gives you this advice, whether you're checking in Dallas or Damascus. Here are his safety tips. 1. Make a copy of the fire escape plan on the back of your hotel door. 2. Because most of these just slide out. You don't know how to run out of there in the case of a fire. 2. Do not stay on the ground or the top floor of a hotel. Why? The ground floor is readily accessible to intruders. And the top floor does not allow any room to maneuver. 3. Keep the do not disturb sign on the hotel door even when you're not there. 4. Always assume the room is bugged. Keep the radio or TV tuned on with the volume on low at all times even when you're not in the room. These are good ideas for your own house, by the way. In the world we live in today, are you kidding me? 5. Keep the drapes or blinds pulled at all times even when unoccupied. This is great paranoia. I love this. 6. Keep a light on in the room when unoccupied. Well, parakeets like that. 7. Keep a small bug-out bag packed with must-have items, money, ID, passport, etc., in the event of an emergency departure from the hotel. 8. Carry a motion alarm that can be placed over the doorknob. They're about $20 and can be found in most electronic stores. Assistant, are you here? Get me a motion alarm. Keep a flashlight next to the bed and within arm's reach. Those are the 9 tips from a CIA operative on how to remain safe in a hotel in a dangerous place. I just thought I'd share with you as the spring season enters the consciousness. When I was a child, my father, who was not formally educated, still loved words, and he read many newspapers. When he tried to teach me to learn English as fast and as best as I could, so he used to like to use unusual words. and test me on them. And I remember to this day, he was very skeptical of people like Dianne Feinstein and Nancy Pelosi. In his day, they weren't even known. But there were politicians like them, and he would say that they mulked the public. And as I got older, I used to love the word mulked. I've used it a few times on the show. But there are words like that that many of us don't even know anymore. They've been deleted from our language. And so I want to do a little bit of discussion about words like mulked, procrastinate, impute, scintillate, expiate, vegetate, ostracize, importune, deprecate, or rusticate, because they're not used anymore. And I don't think we should let our language be bastardized any further than it already is from the media, or by the media, who use very, very limited vocabulary in virtually every show in order to make sure that the ignorant masses can follow the script. So we've lost our language. So what word would you use if you said he is too indolent to get his work done on time? He is doing what? He is too indolent to get his work done on time. He procrastinates. Next one. He is accustomed to blaming others. What word, what verb would you use for that? He imputes. He is a sparkling and witty person. What verb would you use to describe him? He is scintillating. He is remorseful and wishes to make amends. What kind of verb would you use for that one? That's an interesting one. Expiates. He is a person who is in a rut and leads a monotonous life. What would you say then? What's the verb for that? He vegetates. He is an exclusive individual, avoiding people who are different from himself. He ostracizes them. What about someone who cheats others? He mulks them. What about someone who looks down on the acts of others?